The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
All right, as promised, when I see somebody and they're doing this in their career, although it's a more fun when they're doing this, but when they're doing this in their career and they're rising and you see how they go about their business, I think it's important to not one, just recognize them, but two, figure out their journey. How do they get to where they are today? A lot of people take this in, want to be broadcasters. I've had lawyers and doctors. I hate what I do, Brad. I want to get into sports. It's got to be easy. Well, it's not. Here's Robbie Baker for a few minutes. Robbie is homegrown. He went to Pinnacle High School. He is a hockey nut, or hockey family, I should say. Pittsburgh backed. And Mario Lemieux, your favorite athlete, right?
Yeah, growing up, definitely. Well, Mario Lemieux fan, and then Sidney Crosby fan as well, growing up. Gave me some good memories as a Penguins hockey fan. More good than the Coyotes, unfortunately, gave me.
Yeah, that's true. Were you a good skater?
Yeah, I played, I got into hockey when I was little. I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, because it was, of course, when we moved out here when I was in kindergarten, it was very hot in the summer. So my parents signed me up for a learn to skate class at the Ice Den in Scottsdale and caught the bug. And then I ended up playing all the way through, and I actually played for Pinnacle High School.
When did you decide that broadcast was your calling?
I don't know if I had like a, I don't know when it like started necessarily, but I know my kind of aha moment was, I think it was near the end of my junior year of high school. I don't know. I don't remember exactly how the conversation started, but somehow my dad reached out to Mark Lodato, who was the one of the head people at ASU in the Cronkite School at the time. Yep. And they got to talking, and Lodato basically told my dad, hey, just come down and you guys can watch a newscast if that's something you think your son's interested in. And so my dad and I came down and we watched a newscast or a news watch, their PBS production, and, you know, saw how everything that they put together, as, you know, these college kids were just doing this newscast, and freshmen were running cameras and everything, and in the production room and anchoring and all, you know, the opportunities. And then after that, my dad and I basically walked down to Chase Field and went to the D-backs game after that night. And that was kind of when the light bulb went off in my head. That was like, okay, that was, if that's school, that sounds pretty fun for school. And then also when I'm done with class, if I could just walk down the street to a D-backs game, that sounds pretty cool too. So then my kind of, the blinders were on from there. That was like, okay, I think I'm going to ASU. I want to get into the Cronkite School. And I actually did like the early enrollment opportunity type thing, where I, or not enrollment, but application. So I knew by basically December of my senior year of high school that I was into the Cronkite School. I was going, I was working on housing and all that stuff already. So I was, once I went to that first trip, I was like, yep, that was where I'm going.
Why sports? Why not news? Why not weather, human interest, movie reviews? Why sports?
Because sports are the best, right, Brad? This is what we live for. Me, this is what I live for, is all those, you know, whether I've done news, I've done human interest stuff. When I worked in Alabama, I've covered hurricanes, and the core of all of it, as you know, is storytelling. It's, you know, if you can find the right person to tell a story, and you find, you know, a good story, you know, it can happen in any medium or any part of, you know, journalism, whether it's news or sports or weather. But I just have always loved sports. If it's always just been on, whether it's ESPN in my room growing up, or driving around now as a dad shuffling a toddler around with podcasts going and stuff, just sports have always been a part of my life. And it's kind of the cliche of, you know, you realize at a younger age that I was never going to play in the NHL, or I was never going to be a professional athlete. So whatever I could do to be around the games, and then to have this opportunity now to be back here working at Fox 10 and covering the teams that I grew up watching, it's still, you know, a trip for me when I go and I interview Luis Gonzalez, and I've gotten to know some of these guys a little bit as my career has gone on. And I still remember being, you know, 8 years old on the couch crying, and my parents let me stay up, you know, later than normal in 2001 when they won the World Series. And now you get to make relationships with these people and stuff. That to me is the coolest part of this.
Robbie Baker with us from Fox 10 for a few minutes, homegrown, doing his thing in the sports department there at Fox 10. They do a great job. Your journey, let's just go from, okay, you go to Cronkite, and Mark Lodato is the best. He's at Syracuse now, and I miss him desperately. It just, when he asked me to speak at classes, and I just say, you know, if you're not going to work nights, weekends, and holidays, get out. And then he said, you should do some classes. And I'd get crushed in the evaluations and all that stuff. It was great. I miss Mark quite a bit. Your journey, let's just go from Cronkite. So you graduate when, and then where did you go?
So I graduated in 2014, and I owe everything that has happened in my career, I owe to the Cronkite School, because I graduated in 2014, and I did the back half of my senior year, I did the spring training class, which now has evolved into a full sports bureau over there. But I was assigned to cover the San Diego Padres for throughout spring training, the end of my senior year. So I was working as basically almost like an intern for the San Diego Union Tribune, doing social media and web videos and packages throughout Padres spring training. And that actually got me a job in San Diego. I was hired basically before I finished college. And within a week after graduating, I had the U-Haul loaded up and my parents were driving me out to San Diego. So I did a year in San Diego with the Union Tribune, covering the Chargers and San Diego State and the Padres still and everything. And then just the way everything works out in crazy ways in life, I was back in Arizona the following year covering spring training again, but working for the Union Tribune, covering the Padres, when Channel 12 here in town had an opening. And I had gotten to know Bruce Cooper a little bit through my time at Cronkite and everything. And that job was primarily going to be kind of producing, but also mainly helping with their high school football show and things like that. And throughout my time back here in that spring, when I was working for the Union Tribune, I ended up getting a job at Channel 12 as that producer, kind of MMJ high school football reporter, did that for a couple years. And then the next step was going to try to be the full-time on-air anchor, take some more ownership of on-air stuff. And I got an opportunity to do that in Mobile, Alabama. So I was in Mobile, Pensacola area for 4 years. And that was incredible. Obviously, there's great, incredible high school football there. It's crazy when I turn on the TV now and I see guys in the NFL that I covered 4 or 5 years ago in high school. And it's like, that this is wild. So great time there. Alabama, Auburn football, Iron Bowls and stuff. It was incredible experience. And after 4 years there in 2021, similarly to how the Channel 12 thing came together, I had forged relationships over time with Mark Malarich, my now executive producer, and Richard Sines, and all the people here at Fox 10. They had an opening for a producer, reporter, MMJ, jack of all trades. And that's how I got my foot in the door here. And a couple years into this role, had a chance to move up into the weekend anchor, sports anchor spot. And the rest, as they say, that was a long walk for a small drink of water. But here we are.
You've had a journey. You've been beat up, though, a little bit along the ways. The business does have its downs as well as its ups. Channel 12 did have a down part in your career, fair to say?
Yeah, I think when I got to – when I was at Channel 12, you know, I was only – I can't do math – 23 years old, 24 years old. So I think, you know, part of me was probably naive that I was thinking, well, I'm working at – obviously a big station in a big market. I'm in my hometown.
Right.
This is it. Like
Your high school buddies are seeing you and they're like, I can't believe it, dude. We were in high school together and I see you. What are you doing here? And you're like, I'm buying broccoli or I'm pumping gas. I'm just like, right?
Yes, yes. So I think there was obviously a part of me that thought, yeah, this is it. Like I did it. I don't have to ever leave home. I'm not going to have to do the, you know, small markets and work all the way. I got lucky. Things worked, the stars aligned. And I don't think it was through no fault of anything, just kind of circumstances of what I wanted and what the company wanted at the time were just kind of two different things of what they kind of envisioned my role and what I wanted in my role. So that's how I ended up pursuing the opportunity in Mobile to have the more kind of ownership of an on-air thing. And that, in hindsight, was a total blessing because my parents ended up actually having a vacation property near Pensacola. So when I moved away from home, I actually ended up not moving away totally from my parents. So that ended up being great because they split time now. And being in Alabama, I couldn't have shown you Mobile, Alabama on a map 10 years ago. And that place ended up becoming an incredibly important place to me in my life. That's where I proposed to my wife now. And when I was there, I ended up getting the opportunity to start a Sunday night sports show. The station I was at didn't really have a lot of sports programming. And when I got there, I was kind of like, I think I could do this. I've been a part of it before. And so now when I go back to visit and the show that I created still is on Sunday nights at 10:30 is obviously new people now, but like knowing that I started that is like, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. You've also started something with Arizona State, and for years when the great legendary Jude LaCava, close friend, I still say prayers for, when I got here in 93, so Fox, Jude had gone over to Fox, and Fox 10 was all about the Cardinals and all about the NFL. And as time has morphed, I think I've seen the focus of 10 become more than just the NFL. And it's part of its rights fees, I'm guessing, and part of its research. Part of it's just having somebody like yourself who's super passionate, not that Richard isn't, not that Megan isn't, but you've gotten into Arizona State and you are the face and voice really for Fox 10 and ASU. How did that come to be?
Yeah, so this was, I don't know how all of the deal kind of came together in the terms of the strategic partnership, but there was an opportunity, I think, for stations across town to, you know, kind of partner up with ASU. And we were lucky enough to be kind of chosen, I guess, in a way to be the partner with ASU and this new kind of venture. It's the first time, as far as I know, that ASU and a local station has kind of done anything like this. And as there was brainstorming and kicking around of how this was going to kind of operate, we knew there was going to be a show element. And then obviously the Sparky's Den with Kenny Dillingham was something that they put together and we would air at hockey games. But we knew kind of at some point there was going to be an ASU show as a part of this. And I started just with my people that I know at ASU over all the years and passion for the university, started just kind of taking the initiative of started just putting stories together. And as that started to happen, that kind of just started to evolve into some of the leadership here kind of taking a notice and saying, would you want to kind of take the ball and run with this? Because if this is what your passion is about, then we'll give you the resources you need and you can kind of be the tip of the spear on it. And I was like, I'll start yesterday. Like, let's let's get it going. So it's been incredible because, as you know, the people at ASU, Doug Tamaro and everybody in that athletic department is just incredible to work with, and they make my life so easy with getting things set up and lined up. And then, I mean, what a time to partner up with a school like this with the way the football team went this year. And basically, it seems like every month there's another Big 12 championship being won over there, which has just been incredible. And it's been fun for me because obviously, you know, it's so much fun to cover football. It's fun to cover basketball. But for the first time in my life, I've covered water polo this year and got to know Petra Party over there a little bit. And next week I'll be going out and doing a beach volleyball feature. And it's cool for me because these are sports that don't normally get the big time spotlight. So to be able to shine that spotlight on them is fun. And it's just for me, kind of back to the, you know, circling back to the beginning, these are all just good stories. I mean, to me, like the water polo with Petra, I didn't even know much about water polo, but just her story coming from Hungary, Budapest and not speaking English and getting thrown into Tempe, Arizona. I mean, I remember back when I was in kindergarten, first grade, when we moved here from wherever we moved here from, Louisville, Kentucky at the time, I think, or Dallas. And I mean, that rocked my world, let alone coming from Europe. So just talking to these people and getting to know all these different aspects of their life and stuff has been incredible.
Yeah. Petra coached our son in water polo. And
there you go.
We're a water polo family. We saw Petra in the airport, my wife and I did, after being down there for the Peach Bowl. And it was like old home week. And the sport of water polo, why the AIA doesn't have water polo in Arizona? Well, that's a whole nother hour of me ranting about swim coaches wanting to protect their water versus polo, which is the hardest sport by far, if you know what's going on with it.
When I talked to her, the last interview I did with her, she was telling me, I mean, because I knew some of the logistics of it, but even just hear her describe the think what she called like egg beating to like paddle for the whole, you know, however long the matches are and stuff. I was like, I'm exhausted just hearing you talk about it. Like,
it's one of those sports that, as a water polo parent, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, but it is a lot healthier than being in club basketball or club baseball for reasons. It's just more normalcy, I feel like. Robbie Baker with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, I'm curious then, on your journey, you are in Pensacola, you're down in Alabama, you're Alabama Auburn, and you're covering sports there. You come back here to Arizona State when they've really bottomed out and flatlined under Herm and the cheating and Antonio and all that stuff. The passion here when you came back was probably minimal. Now it's off the charts. Just wondering, Robbie, when you look at the two places you've been from a collegiate standpoint, how do the markets stack up?
Everything that anybody ever hears about the SEC is probably still an understatement. It's so much fun to cover. It is 150% a way of life down there. Obviously football, but basketball, any sport, if you support that school, you build your whole life around that. And it is an incredible thing to be around. I don't miss the emails I would get on a nightly basis that I was an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan, or I was a this fan. Cause that was, they came in, hot and heavy for a while. And I had to constantly remind people I'm from Arizona. I'm an impartial person here. I literally want both teams.
Where your tie had some Auburn. Look at that tie he's wearing. That tie has got some Auburn orange in there, and he said Alabama lost.
When I started the Sports Overtime show on Sundays, since it was 30 minutes of sports, you know, give or take with commercials, one of the first weekends I got an email that with as much time as I have for that show, it was like incredible that I didn't include the Auburn equestrian team in any of the, and to the guy's point, they were in the finals of maybe the SEC or they were going up for a national championship, but I was still, that was the type of emails. It was like, if I missed anything, it was pointed out. But that's what made it fun. That was the passion of it in the game days. I mean, I was, some of those Iron Bowls I covered were, I've been very, very fortunate in my career, and especially being here in Phoenix, to be able to have gone to some Super Bowls and Final Fours and to seen some of the big events that come through town. But some of those Alabama Auburn Iron Bowl environments are going to forever be near in the top of my list of sporting events I've covered, just because of the passion that those fan bases have.
Is there the same animosity that we see out here with Arizona State against U of A week, as there is with Alabama Auburn, or is there a level of respect between Alabama Auburn that we don't have here with ASU and U of A?
I think Alabama Auburn, I think, is just bigger. I don't know if like the hatred is any more or less, so to speak, but I think it's just, it literally is every portion of the state. And I don't know if maybe when you go to, you know, different parts of Flagstaff, if you're up at the Grand, I guess put it this way, if you're visiting the Grand Canyon with your family on a given day and you're wearing an ASU t-shirt, you're probably not going to have someone come up to you and say, ASU sucks, go Arizona. Yeah, if you're visiting whatever part of Alabama you're in, if you're wearing something that the other person doesn't like, you may get a comment like, hey, Roll Tide, as you walk by somebody or something like that. So I think that's probably where it's different. But circling back now to like your original question of closer to home here, it was interesting coming in here because when I got back, because watching from afar at the beginning, it felt like Herm was building some momentum and you could kind of see, okay, they're kind of zigging while people are zagging and all right. And then when everything really bottomed out, then it was tough. As you know, too, this is a town, Phoenix is a town where when you win, whether it's any sport, D-backs, Suns, whatever, when you win, talk of the town. I mean, look at what the Suns are going through right now. The last couple of years, the Suns were the hottest ticket. You couldn't get, you know, near a game. Everybody loved the Suns. And now if they lose this tonight, they're not making the playoffs with the highest paid team in basketball history. So interest has always kind of waned in and out in this town, I feel like. But as a Sun Devil grad and now having the opportunity to cover ASU as much as I am right now, it's been incredible to see how much this valley has, for lack of a better phrase, rallied around this Sun Devil program. And it's the total testament to the leadership over there with the way they've built this thing, especially with football, especially with so many homegrown guys, Kenny and Sean Aguano and Jason Mons and Charlie Regal. And for me, that's been really cool to be around that program now and to have known all of those guys, Kenny, not so much until recently, but all those old high school coaches that he has on his team. I've known those guys since I was back at Channel 12 covering their high school games. So that's kind of been an extra kind of fun layer for everything for me.
Robbie, before I get you out of here, I'm curious about family. So you became a dad a year and a half ago or so. I think that people get into the perception that we just live this charmed life. And in a lot of ways we do. We get a place to park. We get a free meal or the meal's discounted. We have a seat. We have our own bathroom. You know, but the grind of it in being a parent, I made it through with four kids and now the youngest is out of the house, so I'm empty nesting. But I look back on it. I see you on the front end now as a dad who you've got a 17-month-old, right?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot with math. He's like a year and a half. He'll be two in July.
Okay. Two in July, and you're balancing it. You're balancing it. How difficult is that to navigate through for somebody that thinks that we have this life where everything is just easy peasy, including family time? How do you balance it?
That is a very good question, and I wish I had a perfect answer because it's an imperfect science. I give a ton of credit to my wife because my wife is in education, so she has basically could not have a more opposite schedule than me. And obviously I was working in Alabama when we really started dating and ultimately got engaged and everything. So she kind of knew what the life was as we were going through the dating process and everything. And it's a lot different when you're dating and then life changes when you're engaged and then life changes again when you get married. But through all of it, my wife has been incredibly flexible and supportive with everything. And then when our son was born a little over a year and a half ago now, for me, that was the first time things really kind of changed for me, because that was the first time where I've always kind of done, okay, well, we're going to have to celebrate Christmas maybe a week early this year, or I'm sorry, I have to work on your birthday, but like, what if we did it? We'll go out to dinner Tuesday night instead. And, you know, and everybody has always been flexible and working with that. But when my son was born, that was the first time for me where I kind of got hit with the, like, oh man, like, I don't know how I'm going to get through work when I'm, you know, working on Christmas and you guys are having dinner. And not because anybody makes me feel a certain way, but that was the first time it hit me where I was like, wow, like that just totally changed my perception of some of that stuff. And it's something that I think will be there as long as I do this. And I think that's something everybody kind of has to balance when they do this. I think to your original point a little bit ago where, yeah, you have to be committed to nights and weekends and holidays when you do this, and having a good support system around you while you do it, I think is the biggest thing. Cause it's an incredible life. Like I said, I've been so lucky to be to Super Bowls and Final Fours. And I mean, tonight I'm going to the Suns game after we finish this. And I still have the pinch me moments, even though I've been doing this for 11 years, where I'm at a game and it's like, oh, this is a Sunday afternoon and I'm getting paid to be at the Diamondbacks game. Like this right. is, it's just, sometimes I have to remind myself that this is work. But then the flip side of it is, yeah, it's never going to be the 9 to 5 where I get to be home every night and have dinner and maybe go to soccer practice or whatever life evolves into from here. So it's just finding the balance and finding the support system that allows you to have the craziness in that this job is, I guess.
You're so likable. I just have to wonder, why did Jordan Hamm come into your life? What a disaster.
I know. I mean, I met him at ASU. Obviously, he was a year ahead of me at Cronkite. I actually don't know how we originally met. Part of it was intramural sports, because my freshman year, I was in like a small group called like Cronkite Village of freshmen. And we had an intramural team that competed against the team that Jordan Hamm kind of ran. And then, we hit it off.
Don't skip over that. I have to know, what sports was it that he tried to compete against you?
Well, they had a good flag football team.
Was he on a flag football team?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was he left out?
No, he was on the field. I feel like he was a wide, maybe like a running back or something.
No way.
And then they were very good. They were a very tough team in like the softball, like slow pitch softball we had intramural.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll let it go off that. Without people like that in your life, though, because it is when you are together in a newsroom and you are all grinding, and there are times when you get so far into a story. I guess I'll use Peach Bowl as an example. I don't know your flow there, but I know that when you're in the middle of those, it's Christmas, it's New Year's, and you're in Atlanta or you're covering stuff, and you got to be able to lean into your teammates or lean into the Jordans of the world. It seems like you've got those people in your life.
Oh, 1,000,000%. And I for a couple questions ago, when we were talking about family and stuff, so my in-laws were in town for Christmas in this Peach Bowl situation. So they're in town. Turns out that we take them to the airport the same day I'm flying out to Atlanta now. And the day after I flew back from the Peach Bowl. So I flew back after the game on New Year's Day. Basically 48 hours later, we had already planned a trip that we were taking our little guy to Disney World for the first time. Cause my sister works for Disney. So we were going out to see her in Orlando. And so basically we had this whole original plan of we do Christmas, I'll have a week of work, but it probably won't be too crazy. We'll pack and everything. Turns out, you know, obviously life goes upside down. So again, like I said, with my wife, she ends up being the one here taking care of the little guy, packing us up for the trip and everything while I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off in Atlanta. That's what's been so cool about being back here is so many people that I went to college with grew close to in college are now working back here or with, you know, close to this market like a Jordan Ham. So it's been so much fun to me that when this job is crazy and it's hard to, you know, maybe go out for drinks or happy hours, like maybe quote unquote normal people do. But for Jordan and I, it's like almost sometimes our normal hangout is when we're at an ASU practice and then we go to Chuck Box after or something, or like when we were in Atlanta and it's crazy long days and just madness all the time, but to sneak at, you know, 10 or 11 at night when it's all done to go out and grab a drink or a beer or something, or get a late night meal with your buddy when you're on a work trip like that is like that. I could never have asked for anything more than that, those opportunities.
Keep up the good work. You're doing great jobs, and I appreciate you being wide open about the business and what you're doing over there at Fox 10. Robbie Baker on the Sports Media Podcast.